The range was around 50 feet, but for a haunting moment, Ryan thought he must have missed. The woman was wearing a shirt made from strips of rag, loosely sewn together, and there was no sign that the 9mm bullet had found its target. She stood still, her eyes open, starting to point an accusing finger at the two strangers, her mouth open to yell a warning that the barely muffled bark of the Sig Sauer had now rendered superfluous. The woman slumped to the sand, lying completely still, resembling a bundle of old clothes fallen from the back of a cart. A trickle of urine darkened the sand between her spread thighs. Ryan could see Christy and the others, alerted by the noise of the shot, standing and staring in their direction, waiting to know what had happened and what to do.
Run or fight?
They were slightly outnumbered, and certainly outgunned in terms of quantities of blasters, but the companions probably had the better weapons and the combat skill to make them count. If Ryan had known in advance that there might be a major confrontation, then he would have arranged to ambush the pirates from hiding, shot as many down as possible in cold blood. Since the redoubt was close at hand, it wouldn't even matter if some of them escaped. But enough of them would be down to enable Ryan's group to reach safety. Now things were different. If they tried to move quickly up the coast, the pirates could outflank them in their boats, or hold them up long enough for reinforcements to arrive, which led to a single, inevitable course of action. All of these calculations took Ryan less than 2.5 seconds.
Fight.
Ryan turned immediately, and climbing on hands and knees to the crest of the rise, looked down into a scene of considerable confusion. The men and women of the pirate gang were scrambling around the fire, grabbing for their rifles and snatching up the belts of ammunition. Their heads kept looking up toward the sound of the gun. It was a long range to hope for an ace on the line with a hand blaster, but Ryan leveled the Sig Sauer and opened fire on the enemy camp. JB was instantly at his side, the Uzi set on semi-automatic, pouring short bursts of lead into the pirates. Behind him, Ryan was aware that Christy was leading the dash to join them, his rifle in her right hand. Dean and Michael were together at her heels, Mildred close behind. Doc was last, his ancient knee boots slipping and sliding in the sand. He struggled to unholster the Lama while on the run. Within seconds, the area around the fires was deserted, the survivors of the raiders having darted into the cover of the ruined buildings and the sagging remains of the trailers, leaving one certainly dead and two seriously wounded. The corpse was face down in the smaller of the fires, flames licking at her greasy hair, igniting her ragged clothes. The skin around her face and chest was already blistering and beginning to char and darken. Ryan wasn't sure whether he or JB had put her down. One man who seemed to have lost a hand was rolling on the ground, knees drawn up to his chest. Ryan was certain that he was definitely a victim of the Sig Sauer's power and accuracy. The third was a younger man with very long, straw-colored straggling hair that covered his face. A triple burst from JB's Uzi had stitched along his spine, and he was trying to crawl to safety, his paralyzed legs dragging uselessly behind him through the trampled sand. Michael flung himself flat alongside Ryan, staring down toward the sea.
Are you going to shoot those two?
Ryan was genuinely surprised.
Why?
To put them out of their misery, of course.
But I never put them in their misery in the first place, Michael.
Now there was sporadic resistance from below them, bullets kicking into the top of the dune within a few feet of Ryan and the others.
How many are there?
About 6 or 7. We spotted one farther over out of sight by 2 boats. Could be more. We never saw that fire-blasted woman until she came out of the bushes. If it hadn't been for her, we could have moved quietly on past and gotten free away.
Christy had given Ryan the Steyr SSG-70 rifle, and he had the walnut stock pressed into his shoulder.
Don't waste bullets from up here. Only blaster that's much use is Ryan's. Rest of us, save lead.
Haven't you forgotten something, John?
Oh, yeah. I reckon you might do something with that .38 if you see a chance.
The killing ground that lay below them, like a map of an urban wasteland, offered limitless hiding places for the survivors of the pirate gang. They'd be able to scuttle from bungalow to trailer unit, dodging through long grass and bush, gradually working their way to the beach.
They're gonna get away from us. You can pick them off from the headland behind us if they try to take to the boats.
Ryan didn't answer, waiting for a moment, his breath held, his finger taking up the first pressure of the trigger of the 10-round hunting rifle, waiting and watching. One of the gang was hiding at the corner of a weather-stained airstream unit. Already he'd made 2 linking runs. Each one moving him a few yards closer to the beach and the boats. Now, Ryan knew, he would very soon have to make a 3rd move. And when he did, the man toppled backward, drilled through the forehead. A slender woman with a long, single-shot, home-built musket at her shoulder stepped from cover.
Yes.
Mildred steadied the Czech ZKR-551 and put a Smith & Wesson 38 caliber round through the center of the young woman's nose. She kicked over onto her back, her arms and legs flailing.
Shit a brick, Mildred! That was the best shot I ever saw!
Not bad.
The shooting slackened, and there were no further attempts from the men and women in the trailer park to work their way to the sea.
There's a mist out at sea. It's thickening and moving this way.
And I can taste that stinking farty smell again. That mean there's another of those eruptions?
Could be, son.
They all watched as the hazy gray cloud darkened and adopted a more solid form, drifting in from the west, shutting down the horizon.
Be here in 15, 20 minutes. We've taken out four of them. We could go and skirmish after the rest.
It was tempting. Best enemy was a dead enemy, was what a child learned in Deathlands at his mother's knee, and it was one of the greatest of truths. But the old trailer park could be a death trap. The surviving pirates could hide in 100 different places and wait.
Move around so we can cover the part of the beach where they've got their boats hidden. We'll give them a hard time of it when they try to launch.
They won't move until they think the fog's enough to hide them. They can see it coming just like we can.
Once they're off the beach, we can think about moving. It's clouding over. There could be a storm coming.
Are we still entertaining the concept of traveling north toward the redoubt?
Why not?
I am certain that I spotted some other small vessels. Unless, of course, they were more of our friendly dolphins.
Where?
To the right of the fog, as we watch it moving toward us now.
That's north. If Doc's right, then we could get cut off that way. The mist might bring them into shore, and that would place them pretty damn close to where the gateway is hidden.
Think I saw them too, Doc. Four or five. I didn't say anything because I couldn't be that sure. Didn't want to risk looking stupid if I was wrong. You know what I mean?
Indeed I do, my boy. Fortunately, when you survive beneath, below, what's the... beyond. Survive beyond a certain age, then looking stupid becomes a congenital aspect of personality.
Ryan considered the new developments. He had to assume that Michael and Duck were right. Odds then made it likely the newcomers would be pirates. The survivors below them would probably escape, with the fog sweeping over the gulf like a sentient giant. It didn't leave the companions much choice.
We'll go back south, to the Institute.
Ryan was furious. He'd been to see Tomlin as soon as they trudged back through the security gate of the Institute of Peaceful Oceanographic Research. The scientist had been out in the Atlantic with three or four of his senior assistants, setting free a young killer whale that they'd rescued after it had been found with the broken shaft of a harpoon through one eye socket. It was late afternoon before the boat chugged into the harbor, and the bespectacled figure of Tomlin climbed the iron ladder. He'd been unable to conceal his surprise at seeing Ryan and the others back on the dock. He deliberately snubbed them, throwing over his shoulder the suggestion that Ryan should go and meet him at his quarters in an hour. It took all of Christie's powers of persuasion to stop Ryan from going immediately to the quay and stealing a boat at gunpoint, then circling wide out to the east until they reached the point where they could land and cut straight across the narrow band of islands to the redoubt.
Snot-sucking son of a bitch thinks he can treat me like that! God damn it, Christie!
Easy, lover.
She put her arms around him, holding him tight, feeling the brittle tenseness slowly melting away.
Life's too short for this.
She used all of the skills that her mother Sonya had taught her, calming the angry man.
Better?
Yeah. Yeah, better.
When Tomlin eventually appeared, he made no apology for keeping Ryan waiting. Nor did he seem all that interested or concerned to hear about the firefight only a few miles north of the Institute. He had poured himself a large beaker of grapefruit juice and sipped slowly at it while Ryan gave him a sketchy description of what had happened.
Less than a dozen. And you were responsible for killing several of them?
Yeah, probably three down.
Then the fog came?
Ryan suddenly realized that what had appeared at first to be disinterest was now, more obviously, something that was completely different. Disbelief.
The fog came.
Tomlin drained his drink and leaned back.
How convenient.
When Ryan had been a younger man, his temper had been legendary, fierce, ever ready to flame, sometimes slipping from the bonds of his control, often to the pain and misery of others, occasionally to himself. It had been the traitor who'd gradually persuaded him that his blinding rage would eventually only hurt that one person, himself, And since then, Ryan had tried, really tried, to control that blood-eyed anger. But now he could feel the long scar down his right cheek beginning to twitch and burn. He took a deep breath and lifted his hand to touch the scar that sliced across his face from his good eye to the corner of his mouth.